7 and the verse number 1. We resume our studies in the Lord's Prayer. And we come again. The last time I was with you, we were looking at the third petition, found there at the end of verse number 2. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. We did make some comment upon that petition, but we didn't actually complete what I wanted to say, so we come again to conclude that message and maybe just add a few things to that today. But let us read the words of verse 1 and 2, Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Amen. Last time I was with you, we divided up the Lord's will, or we described what we mean by God's will under two headings. We spoke of God's decreed will and God's inscripturated will. It's very, maybe technical terms for some, but it simply means that God has a secret will and God has a revealed will. That's not to say that God has two wills. God is one God, he has one will, but his will is understood by men, human beings, under these two headings. God's will, of course, is hidden to a large degree. And we're thinking there of God's decreative will or his secret will. And we cannot know that as human beings. Only God knows that. The hidden things of God are known unto him, and man cannot pry into those things. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. There are certain things in life that come our way, certain things that we just cannot get our minds around. And we search for understanding, and yet the truth is we will never understand that. And it's a good job too. I think it was one preacher, could have been Charles Spurgeon, who said that God in his wisdom has thrown a veil or a cloak over certain things. And for that reason we are not to try and lift the corner of the cloak and to look under and pry and see if we can discover what is hidden underneath that. God has great reason for not revealing things to us. You might say, why is it preachers cannot give all the answers? Why is it they cannot tell us everything about heaven, or everything about hell, or some trying circumstance that has befallen the saints, perhaps a death in the family, under very mysterious circumstances or very controversial circumstances, and a believer is trying to reason that out, and you're saying, well, why does the church not have the answer? Well, the truth is, God has forbidden us to give all the answers because we just don't know. We can apply, we can pastor, using God's word, what God has revealed, but there are certain things that God has hidden for our own understanding and for our own benefit. The second part of God's will is his revealed will, or his inscripturated will. And by that we're just simply referring to what God has revealed to us in his word. And by this term, inscripturated will, or his revealed will, we are saying, well, this will we can know. It is not hidden from us, it is before us, and therefore we can read it, we can understand it, and we can apply it, we can obey it, God's will. God's revealed will. And I've said to you in the last occasion we preached in this third petition, look with me at verse number 2. The petition is this, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And I reminded you of the young girl who came to her pastor and said to her pastor who was preaching through the petitions, Pastor, every time I read the Lord's Prayer, it reminds me of my own sin. It rebukes me. Because when I read, Hallowed be thy name, it reminds me how much that I am trying to promote and hallow my own name. And when I come to that second petition, Thy kingdom come, it reminds me how much time I devote to the building of my own kingdom, the construction of my own little empire, and how men are engaged in doing that all the time, building up their little fiefdoms, their little kingdoms. Doesn't matter about anyone else. And that seems to be the spirit of the age, men and women, from politician right down to the pauper. It's what I can get, what in it for me. And here we're reminded, thy kingdom come, the kingdom of God's glory, the kingdom of God's grace, the kingdom of God's providence, which is part of his decreed will. We don't know what God's providence holds for us, though it is revealed in time. Yet we are to pray, Lord, let thy kingdom come. And we don't know what God's kingdom holds in store for us. But when it does come to us, we are to pray, thy will be done. Of course, the young girls, he said, when I pray that petition, it reminds me how often I do my own will and not my Father's will. So what are we praying, men and women? That's really the issue. When we pray, thy will be done, what are we praying for? Certainly we are praying for God's hidden will, his decreed will, what is known unto him to be executed. And of course it will be executed. And you might be saying, well, what's the point of praying thy will be done in regards to God's decreed will whenever it's going to happen anyway? Is it true, Pastor, that God's will cannot be changed? Yes, it is. It cannot be altered. God has said, I have willed it, and I will do it. These things which I have willed shall surely come to pass. God's will cannot be altered. Let's just get that straight right away. Now you're asking, how do you apply that pastorally? Is it wrong for me to say, Lord, your decreed will has ordained that my father, my mother, my child, or me, or I should go through this time of illness? Is it wrong for you, child of God, to pray, Lord, take this away? I'm just reminding you of what I said in the last occasion I was with you, that it is not wrong to pray for God's will to be changed. But on the proviso that it cannot be changed. That's not a contradiction, by the way. You look at Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and yet he said, he questioned the will of God, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Give me the reason, why has this happened? Of course that was the will. Of course that was Christ, humanity, crying there from the cross. But yet he went on to say, Father, thy will be done. It wasn't that Christ was seeking a change of circumstances. If Christ could come off that cross, he would have. No, that's not what we're saying. Jesus Christ was actually saying, as a man, Father, why? And believer, understand me this morning. Should there be trying circumstances, something devastating into your home, unemployment, health issues, I don't know what it might be, you can rest assured it will come sometime. It's not wrong to say, Father, why? Why? Now, some people often say, and I'm going back to my original question here, can I pray, or can God's will be changed? If it's God's will that some of us be taken with cancer, can that be changed? And of course, God can heal, God can do. God can do as he wills, but we don't know what God has willed for us. It's all in his decreed hidden will. This may sound alarming to you, but it's true. We are not called upon to pray for God to change his will. We are asked to pray for God's will to be done. Thy will be done. Now, the application to you this morning is this, and to me, of course, is that we are not praying that God's will be changed should something awful happen to me or to you. We are to pray not for it to be changed, though we may desire that to be changed, and if God's will is that it be changed, we are asking God, give me the grace to submit to your will, whatever that might be. That's the key, men and women. We are looking here at submission. And when we pray, as the Lord told this man, you want to be taught to pray, I'll teach you to pray. Here's what you pray. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, of course. But let that will be done within that kingdom. My will is perfect, which concerns you. Now, submission is a very difficult thing, men and women. Very hard for God's people to do, especially for those who've been taken with some terminal illness, something that's very serious. And that child of God is saying to you, if only I could have this changed. I remember a dear friend of ours, KMI. I remember speaking with him on occasion. He was just diagnosed with cancer, and there were times he was up, times he was down. Times whenever the chemotherapy seemed to be working, and it did work for a season, then all of a sudden it just took over the whole body. And many times I remember sitting with him and saying to him, you know, Bertie, well, actually he said to me one day, he says, you know, this is God's will for me. For many months I could not see that. Wanted my will to be done. My will was to get better, get back to work, let my family see them. He had young children still at school. He never got to see them graduate. But that was his will. It wasn't God's will. God's will was to take them before those things occurred. But what struck me one Sunday afternoon, I was in Lisburn, I was assistant at that time in Lisburn. I went over that afternoon and I spoke to him, and he said to me, you know, I have learned to submit to the will of God. And he said it with a beaming smile, and his family all around him. Now there was tears, there was pain, there was heartache, but what it taught me was this, that it is God who answers that prayer for the child of God. When you pray, Father, help me to do your will, you're really saying, help me to submit to whatever you have planned for me, whatever that might be. Might be that God has designed for you to be a missionary, or a pastor, or whatever. Whatever your vocation in life was marked out for you, you're asked to pray, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Now I want to come this morning to the second part of verse 2. Very quickly, look with me. Thy will be done. We're praying that God's will might be done. What God has designed for me, whatever that might be, help me to submit to that and enjoy God's will. Man's chief aim is to enjoy God forever, whatever that might be. And you can enjoy God in whatever experiences might be, good or bad, might I say. But look with me here, verse number 2. As in heaven, so on earth. The Lord knew when he told this to the disciple, this young man. Of course, he was going to the other men, telling him what the Lord had said. The Lord was quite clear, this is going to confuse this young man. He's going to go and tell them, the Lord says, whatever comes to you, grin and bear it. That's not what the Lord meant. He pointed this man heavenward. Look at this. Thy will be done as in heaven. Which means that if we are to understand how to submit to the will of God, we then must have a heavenly gaze. We must have a Christward look. For that's where Christ was pointing us, to the very place where he would be. And to those who do God's will in a perfect manner. Look with me again at verse 2. Thy will be done. How am I to do God's will? I am to execute it. I am to do it in the same manner as those in heaven. So must I do it in earth. You will find that that removes us from a place of imperfection. That's where we are. We are in a place of imperfection, earth. And yet the Lord transforms us, or he points us heavenward to the place of perfection where God's will is done perfectly. Of course, who by? Well, we're thinking here largely of the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven. Now look with me at verse 20 of Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 20 to 21. Where David says here, bless ye the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Now there's a very interesting verse. It's telling us that the angels obey the inscripturated will of God. They do his commandments and they hearken to the voice, to the call, the commands of his word. Very interesting verse indeed. Psalm 103 verse 20 and 21. Now when we pray, we are to consider this well. We are to consider the subjects of heaven. Now, I'm thinking here of the angels. There's, of course, the spirits of just men made perfect. Christ is there. He does the will of God perfectly in heaven. But let's think here of those in heaven. The angels of God. The psalmist tells us that they do his commandments. They hearken unto the voice of his word. They do it. How do they do it? Well, that leads me on in a few moments' time to look at this. They do it perfectly. They do it joyfully. They do it constantly. They do it with cheerfulness. They do it with sincerity. They do it with gladness. They do it lovingly. And men and women, that's to teach us how we are to perform God's will. When God, according to his inscripted will, says, look, this is the way, walk ye in it. Are we supposed to hump and grump? No, we're not. We're to look to heaven and see how the angels do it. They do it with love. They do it with joy. They do it with gladness. We all struggle with that. Of course, that leads me back and to say something I may have said on a previous occasion. And that is that God's will for our lives, as preachers often say, we must do God's will. It is always in cooperation with God's word. And what I'm saying is you need to know God's word in order to do God's will. I mean, there's a very unhealthy attitude today in regards to what God's will is, and it leaves people looking through their Bible for verses and say, oh, there's a verse, and it says, oh, I am to go to the south. That means I must be a preacher in the south of Ireland. And that's how people read their Bible. Or they've met some attractive young boy or young girl, and her second name or his name is Brown. And they'll say, whenever I go down the street, if I see a brown car capacity, that means it's God's will for me to marry that woman. You might be laughing, but that's how crazy people get. I've met people who've come out with such nonsense and said, well, you know, if it's God's will that I go to... I mean, I could have said to you before I come to Mount Marion that I was driving down the M2 one day and I saw this sign said, welcome to Belfast. And I knew that was the Lord saying I was to come to Belfast. That's just absolutely absurd. I mean, I could have ended up in Australia because I got an email that day. Australia welcomes you. Come and join us. Join the Navy or something. Sure, goodness knows where you've ended up. You've got to tie in God's will to his word. And when you're reading scripture in a consecutive manner, God will be pleased to reveal scripture to you. That's why whenever a young man wants to know, or a young woman wants to know the will of God, maybe in regards to spiritual matters, maybe thinking of the ministry or of missionary work, that the first question that young man needs to ask himself, or young woman, is, am I reading the scriptures? Or is this something I've just picked out, and I'm reading it, and it may well be a verse that others have been led to into missionary work. How does God direct us? He directs us when we, like the angels, do the will of God continually, constantly. Look at Matthew 18, verse 10. In heaven, their angels do always. Always is the description here of the angels. They always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And the thought there is that they do the will of God constantly, that there's never a time when they're not doing the will of God. You see something, and I say this to you based on Matthew chapter 7. There's no one can be in heaven, there's none in heaven that are not doing God's will. Everyone in heaven is doing God's will. Look with me at Matthew 7 for a moment. Words that Christ warned men on earth. Matthew chapter 7. The Sermon on the Mount. Go down to verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. The kingdom for which we are praying to come. The kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which
is in heaven. Do you see that? The will of the Father that is in heaven. God's in heaven. His will is done in heaven. How is it done? It's done perfectly. It's done continually, constantly. And the Lord says, there won't be one man on earth who doesn't do my will arriving in heaven. That's why it's foolish for a man to say, well, I'll be in heaven, yet he does his own will. I'm a free man. No one tells me what to do. Pastor Albert Martin. Maybe I've used this before, but I'll use it again because it's so worthwhile. He was in a seminary in the United States lecturing. He's a theologian. He was lecturing to the students one day, preaching in Matthew 7, and he was discussing God's will. And he said to the young men and women who were gathered before him, who in this room is doing God's will? A few hands went up here and there. Some maybe weren't sure of what the will of God was. Then he said to them, he went on a few moments, explained what it was to do the will of God, and maybe a few more hands went up. Now, these were all Christians. They all professed to know the Lord and to be doing His will. And nobody said, how many of you are doing God's will? And I say, only a few hands went up. And then he went on to quote verse 21, Matthew 7. Not everyone that doeth my will shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, he wasn't scaring the young people. He was just letting them see, because there's so much confusion, as I say, about the will of God. But he was letting us as believers see that it is true that not everyone that professes the name of Christ is going to be in heaven, because not all do the will of God. Which leads us to see what is the will of God. It's not something to be bandied about and abused, because no one can be in heaven except they do the will of God. Now, don't you young men or older people this morning be getting worried and saying, well, I don't know if I'm doing it perfectly. Am I doing it well enough? Maybe I'm outside of God's will. The will of God, His inscripturated will, is revealed to you. If you're reading God's word, you will know it. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Be like unto me. Hearken unto me. If ye love me, do my commandments. That is the will of God. And if you do that, hereby we know that He dwelleth in us, and He in us, I in Him. 1 John chapter 4. Hereby you know. Hereby you make your calling and your election sure. Is when you love God's word, and you love to obey God's word. You feel it. You don't always carry it through. But you love it. Hereby we know that we love Him, because we do His commandments. Are you doing God's commandments today? What is your delight on the Sabbath day? That's the command of God flowing out of His inscripturated will. Turn away from doing your own pleasure on my day. My day. Yet how many professing believers do their own will in His day? God's will for the believer in the Sabbath is to be here. Yet where are they? That woman, that man, I know there's reasons, now don't get me wrong. There are reasons why sometimes God's people can't get to the house of God, but I can tell you they're very far and few between. Being up late the night before is not a reason for not being in God's house, because you've been to the cinema or watching movies half the night. Or out for a Chinese. Not saying you can't do those things. That is, have a Chinese or go out for a meal on Saturday night. But if it leaves you sluggish, if you can't get out of your bed on Sunday morning to be at the prayer meeting or whatever, then you need to ask yourself, why did I miss that? Was it a failure? Or do I not love to do that? Because if I love Him, I will keep His commandments. Now look at Isaiah chapter 14 for a moment. This just augments, strengthens the argument that I'm putting to you. Isaiah chapter 14. And if you look with me at the verse 12, Isaiah 14 and the verse 12 through to 15.
where we have here the casting out of Satan. And five times we read of him who was in heaven doing his own will, which resulted in him being cast out. We read here of the five I wills of Satan. Look with me there, verse 12, first of all. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said, in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit among the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Fourthly, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And fifthly, I will be like the Most High. Now God says, yet thou shalt be brought down. God's will, his will. God's will shall be done. That teaches us, again, that the heaven can only permit those who do the Lord's will. Now look here, this is really finally, I want us to bring this point to you. How is God's will to be done by us on earth? We know how it's done in heaven. It's done constantly. It's done perfectly. How are we then to apply that on earth? Well, let's look again at the angels in heaven. In heaven, there's not one who does not the will of God. If that's true, then heaven will be an imperfect place. Which means the will of God on earth is to be done universally, because it's done universally in heaven. It's not done universally on earth, but we are to pray. When we pray, thy will be done on earth, Lord, in the very same manner it's done in heaven. We're thinking of the church. We're thinking of those yet who are not the Lord's. Lord, may it be that your will be done universally. Now, that may never be the case. Post-millennialists will believe as it will be the case, but there will be a great ingathering of the church to the church. Yes, that is true. But there will always be men on the earth right to the end of time who will never do the will of God. But that means we are to pray then specifically that the church, Lord, may your will be increasingly be done in the same way it's done in heaven, in such a vast manner. There's so many who are not in your church. They do not enjoy your will. They do not keep the Sabbath. Thy will be done here on earth is an essential prayer, men and women, for God's people to submit to his will and to perform his will. We are praying for the denomination of the Free Presbyterian Church. We're praying for other denominations, for other pockets of believers throughout this world where missionaries are preaching, that they too may see this petition fulfilled. God's will being done amongst the nations, amongst the heathens, here in UK, there in Iran or Afghanistan or China. Lord, may your will be done there universally in the same way it's done in heaven. I already mentioned this constantly. Look at Revelation 7, verse 15. We are to pray that God's will be done constantly. You know, believer, if you have the same problems as I do as your minister, it's this: consistency. You know, we're believers, we're full of fits and starts. We run a mile, and then we're like Pilgrim in Bunyan's Progress. We take the seat. We lie down in Vanity Fair or some of these places, side of the road, get distracted. And it seems to be we're coming back. And then, of course, the Father, he comes and he picks us up, as the father-child relationship does. And God drives us up the road again. He lifts the rod of chastisement and gives us a good scout, and away we go again. And then, of course, we fall back. Fits and starts. Like an old car there in the morning. Like a preacher coming back for his first Sunday after his holidays. It's almost as if you need a good run around the block. Or a few ministerial hours put in the pulpit before you preach your first sermon. But anyway, we need to be praying, and what we do pray and what we are praying for here is consistency. Lord, may your will be done consistently. Give us consistency in our own hearts. Look at Revelation 7, verse 15. Therefore are they. Now who is the they there? The plural pronoun. The saints in heaven. They're before the throne of God. Therefore are they, the saints, before the throne of God, and serve him day and night. That's constancy. That's perseverance. That is consistency par excellence. And we need to pray that God would give us the same. Thy will in heaven, Lord, is done day and night by the saints around the throne. May we do the same on earth. Oh, that is my prayer for my own heart. That is my prayer for Mount Marion members. I don't like, it's not very often I take out the stick. It's not a very good idea. But I get very discouraged with the members of Mount Marion. And I speak for the clerk station. And I speak for the members of the committee. And I speak for other of God's people too. We get discouraged with each other. But it does, it's very disheartening. You plan a week of meetings or you plan a special night and you look for God's people and they're not there. They stay at home. You look for them on a Tuesday night at the prayer meeting and I go home some nights very discouraged. Of course, I don't get discouraged because I know my own heart. Some Tuesday nights I feel like staying at home myself. And it's not that I'm thinking bad about you. I'm just saying, Lord, give them consistency. Give me consistency. Help us to be done with this running for a mile and then jumping off and letting the others carry on. We've got to see this minimum. Performing God's will is doing it as the saints do in heaven. They serve God day and night. Look at Psalm 119, verse 112. I have inclined my heart. You see, there is actually a setting here. God has given us a new heart. He's given us a new mind. He's taken away the stony heart. Given us a heart of flesh. And David says, I'm setting my heart. I'm inclining my heart. I'm going to the prayer meeting. I'm going to support that missionary campaign. I've inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. What a prayer, God's people. You should take to your heart. I am setting my heart, Psalm 119, verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy duties, my duties, thy statutes, always, continually, constantly, even unto the end, right to the day, Lord, you take me home. I'm inclining my heart. Believers, that's your prayer this morning. I pray you would make it your prayer. Why not do it from this point forward? And say, see, tonight, I'm going to be in that half-hour prayer meeting. And I'm going to be here at Sunday night. And I'm going to encourage others to be there too by my presence in the prayer meeting. This young man is coming to preach tonight. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to encourage my pastor by my presence there. And I'm going to encourage the members of Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church by my being there. We are not to be serving God like Reuben. What did the Lord say of Reuben? Uncontrolled as water. Uncontrolled as water. Unable to tame, unteachable. Look at Psalm 119. Verse 80. Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may be not ashamed. There's sincerity. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Know my motives. You know, in heaven, the motive for praise and worship is holy. There's no one there trying to say, well, if I'm seen at church, maybe the pastor will give me a wee job to do. You know, maybe I'll make it onto the church committee. Or maybe I'll become a Sunday school teacher. If I attend the prayer meetings and, you know, the Lord's saying here, you do it sincerely. Because I don't know your heart, but rest assured, God knows our motives. God knows the heart. And in heaven, the motive is pure and holy. Maybe I should just say something here. When a man isn't at prayer meeting,
That is an indication. An indication. Not the proof, but it's an indication of his being qualified for such position. Man who's in prayer. Man who wants to pray for God's work. So don't get it wrong. But what I'm saying here, the motive is pure, the motive is sincere. Sincerity is the heart's desire. It is the heart's desire to keep the statutes, the commands of God. Look at Psalm 10, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. There's another way in which the angels serve God. They do his will cheerfully, with joy. They serve God with gladness. Read Revelation and see how many times the angels break forth in praise and song to the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord. I will worship before his throne. Praise the Lord of hosts. Look at Isaiah 38, verse 3. Faithfulness. You are to serve God faithfully. Not successfully, faithfully. Hezekiah here. How I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which is good in thy sight. He's not saying I've done it all, Lord. What he is saying is, Lord, I have walked before thee. I failed, as we know Hezekiah did, and all of God's people do. But yet he says, I have done it with a perfect heart. My motives have been pure. I've sought only the glory of God. And that which is good in your sight, I've been faithful, Lord. I failed you, but I have been faithful. It's almost as if he's saying with Paul, I finished the course. I've run my race. And I've done it with gladness. No regrets. Believer, can I say to you, especially to young men this morning, young people, you will have no regrets about doing the will of God. Don't set it in your heart to make money in life. God blesses you with money, we'll praise God with you. But don't say, I'm going to get out into this world, I'm going to make money, I'm going to be successful. And yes, you'll be at church on a Sunday and you'll probably be like those people who have done this, they're sitting falling asleep because all their energy is poured into their own will, not that which is the Lord's. But you serve God faithfully, and I can tell you, you have no regret. Because you're laying up treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can break through, decay nor destroy. I pray that God will bless you as his people. We'll leave it there today. We'll move on to the next petition when we return again. But may God lead you to see how we are to do God's will. Faithfully, sincerely, with gladness. And we're to pray that others might join us universally in doing his will.